Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and thank you for choosing to listen to Daphne's New Day Show versus the ball game. You have decided to invest in yourself, and this is a wise decision. I am your blessed and privileged host for this segment of A New Day Show, where we keep you inspired, informed, and educated. And on Sundays, we decide that we want to have some heart-to-heart with each and every one of you, because it's a new year for one thing, and too many people are settling for mediocrity. And I decide that the stories that we share with you on Sundays will be enough to ruffle your feathers, so that you will be responsible for the actions that you take. Today, my honored guest is Miss Nina Hart. And I tell you, it was just about 3 weeks ago, you remember when I visited Jamaica for a funeral of a relative. And I was blessed to be in the company of Nina's sister. And she showed me a book that Nina authored. And I said, oh, my heavens, where is she? And she said she was in Florida. And I said, listen, can you connect us? Because I looked through the book and I said, I got to speak with this amazing woman. And we spoke on the phone. And I must tell you, my listeners, it is as if I knew her all my life. She's a warm woman, extremely motivated. She is a mover and a shaker. And I want to tell you, grab your journals and your pens, because you will be able to write some life lessons down, and you will be so happy that you took the time out to spend with us this evening. So, without any further delay, my guest has been hanging out in the virtual green room with me, waiting to come on the air. And before I bring her on, I want to remind the listeners that feel free to call in as we go along with our conversation. Nina will be spending the first hour with us. And then you and I, my guests, will spend the last half an hour. I want to welcome guest number 16359 to the show. And the telephone number to call is 646-915-8166. The chat room is up and running. So if you have any questions, please type it in there and I will read it for Nina. If you call the phone number 646-915-8166, it will walk you through what to do. I want to encourage you to show some dynamic love to Nina because we want to treat her right so she come back. So you got to just treat her right. So Nina, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you, my sister, to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much, Dr. Daphne. I really appreciate you having me on the show. And after that introduction, gosh, I got to live up to it, right?
You are already living up to all of that. I am just so honored that God has connected us because there are no accidents, you know?
True.
I walk into your sister's establishment to have a meeting with another lady that,
yes,
I was meeting for the first time. And it was as if I knew her all my life. She's such an amazing woman of God. And I just connected with her. And I'm looking forward to, in the future, to do some event in her place there. And just to utilize her services and use it to add value to what I'm doing. And I'm looking forward when you and I'll be able to share the stage too, because you are a phenomenal woman.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you are an amazing woman, because with what you're doing, empowering people across the country, I mean, that's putting some real value to, you know, impacting the lives of others. Instead of watching the game like most of the guys are doing today, you know, maybe most of our listeners will be the ladies. But that's great. God is connecting the right people.
That's right. If it's one person that comes on today, that person was meant to be here from the beginning of time. Because,
correct,
as you and I know, there are no accidents. And we go seek after what we need and what we crave. And, you know, I'm on a mission, Nina, to change our world by transforming one life at a time. And people
I'm there
say,
with you.
One life, it's not going to take forever. I said, no, I'm focusing on one life. And if somebody decide they want to take the mantle from me and do one life again, that's all we need. But
yes,
we just keep focused, because when we create the legacy and we transition, somebody else is going to say, you know, Nina Hart started that and I must continue. Daphne,
yes,
Clark Hudson started that and I must continue. So we just need to get up off our rockers and do something. You don't have to get 1,000 done. If you can do one thing, just do the one thing. And I'm so thankful for women like you who, you know, I read this story, which I'm sure you're going to talk about, but with your son, and I say, yes, yes. Because I remember when I was fighting the school system with my son too, who was labeled with attention deficit disorder and all of this stuff that didn't happen, all this stuff you can't get happen, and you just have to stand up for what. So I'm just so excited there. We are so connected on more than one level. So
yes,
enough for me. Nina Hart, from the beautiful parish of St. Mary, Jamaica, West Indies.
Yes.
Is that where Milk River is in St. Mary or Port Antonio? Where's Milk River back?
No, Milk River is in St. Thomas.
Okay, St. Thomas. I know it was,
yes,
one of you far over there.
And you're from Kingston, are you?
No, I'm from Westmoreland. I'm a country girl, Nina.
Oh, so am I.
Another thing we
have in common.
Yeah, I just kind of adopt town now. I began going to Kingston a lot when I began working with the Cultural Commission and when I went to public health school. But I'm a country girl, and I'm so proud of it.
Okay.
You know, walk barefooted and all of that stuff, so.
Yes.
We are authentic, and we are, you know, We are real people. So what we're going to talk about today, it's not sugar-coated. It's not fluffed up. It is the pack that you were dealt, and you use it to play the game of life beautifully. And we just want to go in there. Who is Nina Hart? Let us talk about your humble beginnings, Nina.
Okay. Well, I was born to Christian parents in St. Mary. And they just didn't, you know, talk about the love of God. They practiced it every single day. So we actually saw that. Mm-hmm. And I'm the 11th of 12 children. So my mother had, like, all 10 of the other kids at home as far as giving birth. So mm-hmm. I was the first one to be born in the hospital, myself and my sister who followed me. Mm-hmm. But the doctors told her when I was when she was pregnant with me that she was not going to make it because she was so deathly ill. She was, like, late 40s, and she was really, really sick. But for some reason, God spared her life, and I'm here today. So from I was a fetus in the womb, I have been fighting to survive. And pretty much that's the pattern that my life took, because even after I was born, it was always a struggle, always a struggle. I always felt like I was climbing uphill, but I was even more determined that come whatever, you know, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get up and make something of my life. When I was 8 years old, I went to live with my sister-in-law because they were having some economic challenges, my parents, you know, back then. And then because I was a little bit nervous, never saw abuse, don't know what that looks like or what it sounded like, because I've never heard my parents argue. And their motto was, never let the sun go down on your wrath. So we never heard them have a harsh word to each other. So I went to live with my brother and his sister-in-law, and she, you know, a lot of times the men are the abusers, but there are women who are the abusers too. So she used to abuse my brother big time, and it was really, I got really nervous because I didn't know what to do. It was so foreign for me. And one night I remember wetting the bed because I was just so nervous, and that was it. It was really, really harsh. She threw me in the pig's pen, beat me so hard. I spent the whole evening with the pigs. That was really hard for me to deal with because, I mean, we had pigs, goats, and all that, but we never slept with the pigs before. No. I've never been in a pig's pen before. You know, except I was feeding pigs. So that was really harsh at 8 years old. So I got out of it, and I told my brother, take me home, because I don't care what they're going through. I want to go back to my warm, loving environment, you know?
Yes, yes.
And that was pretty much the shape that my life took at that time. But I said, you know, I'm only eight. I don't understand why God allowed this to happen to me. But all I know that I'm going to get over this. And I was doing self-talk on my way home. It's like, I'm beautiful, I'm loved, I'm a child of God, and I do not belong in a pig's pen. So at that early age, I understood the power of self-talk. And then I went to high school. I was like the most popular girl, the most, you know, all the guys loved me because my self-esteem came from nothing to, like, it hit the roof, just like yours, because I can tell your self-esteem is way up there. And all the women that we know should be up there because it gives you power. It gives you authority.
That's right. That's right.
At the same time, we're humble, you know, but we don't. I don't allow anyone to rain on my parade anymore because it's just not good.
That's right. So, that's right. That's right.
That's basically how it started.
Yes. 8 years old. And, you know, people who are from the West Indies and specifically Jamaica, understand the impact of what you just said. Because the pigs are out there. The goats and all the animals, they are out in the bushes. They are not home. So to put an 8-year-old child out there, it's not a covered place. It's a pig's pen. And you know, that is so deep. If there was somebody who had a reason to crawl under a rock and never come out again was Nina Hart. Yet, as we go on in this dialogue, you're going to find out that that just ignites the adrenaline of empowerment in her. And that's the result of what you're hearing today. And as you visit the blog and her page on her Facebook, you will see. Because we all make choices in life. She could have made the choice of crawling under the rock and never come out. Instead, she said, watch me now. And you know what I say now, Nina? I wonder, where is your sister-in-law today? Is she alive?
She's out there somewhere. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Actually, she is. And I have forgiven her, too, because for all people who has wronged me, I have forgiven them. Because you know what unforgiveness can do as far as your health.
That's
so
right.
I don't take it on. I've forgiven her, and may God bless her. I'm a better person today. So,
because of that, you know. And you ought to send her a birthday gift of one of the books, you know, or maybe all of the books. So
you're
can read. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You know, I will definitely look into it somewhere.
Yes.
I don't have an address, but I could look into it.
No, you will find an address. Trust me. Somebody at the market know where she is. Because she needs to read. Because she needs to heal herself, too. Because she probably, and I'm sure she's aware of what you are doing. And
yes,
she probably has not forgiven herself. So help to set her free. Send a gift to her and ask that her blessing may the rest of her life be super blessed.
Okay.
So, you grew up, you went to school, and I don't blame those boys, because if you had a high self-esteem and top of that gorgeous face and body you have, no wonder them poor boys were running you down, you know.
But I was a good girl, though, Daphne. I behaved myself and didn't do anything crazy.
I know. That's all right. That's what I try to tell the girls now. That not because the boys run after you, you can keep things intact.
That's right.
You know, boys will always chase ladies. But when you become a hoochie mama, they're not chasing no more. So you got to know how to keep yourself. I want to welcome guests 16, 6, 57 to the show. And the number you can call in, guests, is 646-915-8166. We would love to hear from you and hear who you are. My guest, as you probably have read on the blog, is Miss Nina Hart out of Florida via Jamaica, West Indies. So, you went through all of that. Pigs pended, not getting your life. You grew up, finished high school, and what happened?
And then, you really want to hear what happened. That was so exciting. Right before graduation, we went to Duns River Falls in Otorio. And that day was the changing point in my life. It was a turning point for sure, because I met this gentleman who was really interesting, you know, very intellectual. He was just somebody, you know, like how President Bill Clinton has charisma and President Obama has all this charisma. He was right along with them, because he just said the right words, you know, flawless. And he approached me and, you know, said, you know, I've been checking you out. You don't know who I am, but I know who you are. Miss Popularity, I know you're the one who is the head of the ball, because we were having the graduation party. And basically, you know, I want to take you to the ball. And I'm saying, are you kidding me?
Lord.
I said, there are about 6 guys waiting to take me to the ball. I don't recall you being one of them. So he just got up and he says, okay, let me get you some soda, because he was not going to give up. This guy is persuasive, just meeting him. But I kind of like that, to be honest, because I like people who don't give up. So
as much as
I was like saying, this guy is full of himself, at the same time, there was a quiet admiration for him, you know?
He
knows what he wanted. And well, cut a long story short, he did take me to the ball. And within a year, in less than a year, I became pregnant with my first son. But my parents and my family did not like him at all, because they didn't trust or they didn't like him for whatever reason it was, because he was not somebody who, he wasn't a worker, because he came from an abusive past. And because of that, he just thought that his father owed him everything. So he was just chilling, not working. And I came from a family where everybody works. So I'm saying, what are you doing for a living? You know, it's like, listen, don't go there, because I have no plans to work anytime soon. But I still fell in love with him.
Wow.
You know, and you know what, Daphne, I asked myself today, was that really love?
No.
And I had to tell him later on in the game, after I had all these kids, that you know what, the truth is, it wasn't love, it was pity. Because for whatever reason, after that experience with the pig pen, it's like there is a compassionate side to me that I take the last shirt off my back and give to someone if they needed it. And if somebody was abused or somebody was molested or whatever, it's like I always give a listening ear. So when I heard about the abuse that this guy was coming out of, it's like, are you kidding me? No, I have to be
let
there for
me
him.
Let me rescue him. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what I did, you know? So that's how it started. And another thing is I found out that a lot of women try to help God because we're brought up in an atmosphere where, you know, put God first, you know, don't do anything without, you know, praying about it and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you
want
to get married, like, quickly. In high school, I could have been around with all these guys, but I didn't. I preserved my body. But with this guy, then I dropped my guards, and everything was like, okay, I'm ready. You know, and that was a big mistake.
Yes. Big mistake. So, we, as women, we must follow our hearts at all times because our heart is so pure. When our minds will play games, our heart is authentic. And we got to listen there. And he's right. He was studying you for a long time. He see the caliber of woman you was. He noticed you had virtue, you had value, and you had moral. And he rehearsed for a long time how to trip you. Because what
he did
was as if you're walking down the path and he just extend his leg when you were near to get to him and trip you on your face. That's what they did. And I hope that young boys and young girls are listening to what you are saying today. Because now they are getting more sophisticated. You know, they are going out there and they're buying the young girls expensive stuff that their parents cannot afford in exchange for sex. And they got to listen and stand up for what they believe in. And listen to your parents and listen to adults. Because listen, when mama or papa said they don't trust something, trust me, they're not telling you all of what they feel, but they are always on the mark.
Always,
they are
always
on the mark. So,
true.
You had that first baby, and then you had how many more? And what? What began?
Well, we got married after I became pregnant, and then that was baby number one. And then the abuse started even before I became pregnant, Daphne. The abuse started. I remember the first sign of abuse was going to a party one night with my girlfriend. It was her 18th birthday. And her little brother, who was 14 at the time, came around and saw me wearing this pendant. And by this time, my husband, he was my fiance, my boyfriend at the time, he had stepped away to get some drinks. And by the time he stepped back, the little 14-year-old was putting his hand on my pendant to look at it. It was a diamond cross that I had gotten from my mom. And once he saw that, he just lost it. Now, I never saw this guy angry. I've only saw the good side of him, you know. I've only seen the good side of him. And then all of a sudden, it's like hell broke loose. And he just... And I got so nervous. Like, I'm saying, hold on, is this for real? And then, of course, my mind went back to what I was coming from with my brother and sister-in-law. Because abuse was not something that I saw at home. So I said, no, I don't want to do this. But another thing is for people listening in, especially young folks, if you're new in a relationship, you drive your car to the date and let that person drive their car.
Because
I went with him, so I was stuck. I had to put up with the abuse, let him take me home, whatever. Maybe if I had gone to the party by myself, I would not be, you know, I would not have gone through what I've gone through. But then I look at my beautiful kids. It was worth it for me in the long run.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know? You have something out of it. However, you are taking the responsibility to help others to know that they don't have to go down that path because God would still give you all those beautiful kids. So we're not complaining about the kids. There was no mistake there when it comes to them and the wonderful kids and grandkids that you have out of that union. But still, people need to make wise choices.
Correct.
Wise choices. So... You were in Jamaica when all of this happened, and then you moved to Florida?
Right. Well, it all started in Jamaica, got married in Jamaica, and then I had the first two boys in Jamaica. And then I remember one day, I was at the bank at the time, and we had a pretty decent lifestyle, you know, was living Playboy Hotel right next door to there. The house was owned by Calvin Lockhart. And it was a beautiful home, 21 steps from the beach, and that was the type of life that we had, even though there was a lot of abuse, you know. That kind of just helped me to deal with it a little bit. I had the boys. and I had a decent lifestyle because I was still covering up everything when my family came to spend weekends. It's like, oh, my gosh, it's a beautiful home, this beach, the kids, nice husband, everything. And I went to the bathroom and I'd cry. I said, Lord, they have no idea what I'm going through.
Because you're not
telling
them. They
had no idea. Wouldn't tell them. Because remember, initially, they didn't want me to get with this guy, so I had to prove them wrong.
That's
and I was too ashamed now to say anything. So I remember one day I was at work, Daphne, and I got a call, and basically he was saying, we're migrating, like, now. It's like, what are you talking about? The bottom line is his mother had gotten her citizenship, and he wanted us to go to the States. By the time I got home, my resignation was written. Within 2 weeks, we were out of the country, just like that, left everything. We could barely sell because it was so quickly. Mm-hmm. But this is the type of person who is very authoritative and whatever
and
he says
controlling.
Goes.
Yes.
And controlling.
Yes.
So within less than 2 weeks, we were gone. And leaving that type of lifestyle to move to Brooklyn off Flatbush Avenue in a home where there were 11 people already living in the house before I moved in with four. That was 15 of us. Okay, 3-bedroom upstairs and the basement. That was it. So can you imagine what that did? Talk about culture shock, you know? So that was kind of challenging. And then the abuse continued. It got really, really ugly. And, you know, it was really something that I said, Lord, I don't understand. And at some point I had to break down and I had to tell my family what I was going through. And
you couldn't hide it anymore.
Yeah, but you know what? My mother knew, though, because when we went to say goodbye to her, she just said, you know, something is wrong. If you guys are doing so well, why are you leaving? And she said to my dad, I'm getting a feeling right now that they're going to need a lot of prayers. But she says, Nina, you might not be telling me everything, but I'll be praying for you every single day. And that is the prayers that kept me that way to this day.
Wow.
My
mother
prayed for me. One night I remember where he tried to kill me with a knife coming towards my heart, you know. And I was just affixed because I thought I was dead. I don't know. Thank God. I'm sure you can relate, and a lot of people on the call can relate to this. But for somebody who has been abused, they can relate to that. And it's like, you know, I'm dead because he actually did it. Because
but God
the
was
first,
there.
There was a punch in the wall, the wall. There was a big hole in the wall, and the knife, it was coming at my heart with the knife. So it's like, okay, that's it. But you know what? God is so awesome because
every time
he provided a way of escape. Every single time, every day. 6 foot nephew, which was much younger than him, appeared out of nowhere and wrestled with him and took the knife from him. And that was just one incident. I mean, in my book, Crosses to Bear, Love to Share, there are many incidents of abuse. And my heart goes out to the people who have gone through this because a lot of people never get back to their sane mind because it's a point where you get to where you say, dear God, I can't handle this crisis, so might as well I just jump over the bridge or, you know, end it on the train tracks, you know, that type of thing. But for the grace of God and the way I was raised, and that's why we go back to setting that foundation when you have children, because we always come back. We always come back home and come back to the God of our parents so he can rescue us. And that's really what saved my life during the years of the abuse.
You know, it's like you mentioning that your mother, she knew, you didn't tell her, but she knew you needed prayer. And it reminds me of the athletes who oftentimes stand up and they're giving a shout out to their mother. Because mothers are always prayer warriors. You don't know why you're praying. You say, God, I don't know what's wrong with Daphne today, but Lord, I'm lifting her up to you. Because you have it in the pit of your stomach knowing that something is wrong with your child.
Yes.
Because you feel that heaviness. And, you know, thank God for praying mothers.
Yes.
Thank God for praying mothers. So, how did you gain the energy and strength and courage to end that relationship?
Wow, it's the Lord. And, you know, that's such a touchy topic because divorce, we know, is not of God. But at the same time, when you're at a point where you're being held at gunpoint, I mean, with your six kids lined up, and it's just so many times where you're going to be dead. When a marriage is not of God in the beginning, then we pay the price every time. There's
that's
not
right.
one marriage that is of God that they're going to go through anything like this. And
that's right.
why when I tell my story, women are crying because it's like, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh, I can't believe you went through that. And the poor kids, it wasn't just me. My kids were badly
mm-hmm.
abused. My mm-hmm. eldest son, Daphne, who is a professor, mm-hmm. is Dr. Jason Campbell today.
Mm-hmm.
It took him 15 years to graduate with a doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And his major is philosophy. So
mm-hmm.
he was the first African-American from University of South Florida to graduate with a PhD in philosophy. A lot of them
mm-hmm.
is business and this and that
mm-hmm.
and the other. But philosophy is not, it's a hard topic.
Oh,
but
yes,
the point
is,
after all those years, and he'd call home and he'd cry, like, Mom, I cannot do this. I can't. I say, honey, let me tell you something. The past is behind us. We can't do anything about the past.
That's
we
right.
We can only
just
impact
the future,
baby. So
yes.
I said, you got to just hold firm and know that your mother loves you. I believe in you. I know you're not going to let me down. So listen, you're my star, and you're going to pass this. And definitely, let me tell you, he has two kids today. And when I tell that boy has invested in his kids, and he's
mm-hmm.
a professor at Nova Southeastern University.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came by my house the other day, and it's like, I said, Jay, what are you doing at school? It was holiday and whatever. He says, Mom, you don't understand. I have to be the best that they're flying him. He has published 7 titles, Daphne, 7 titles.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus.
And when
Thank
his
you.
Dad, I think, when he became the doctor, mm-hmm. I got to tell you this, though. Before he left,
mm-hmm.
Before my ex left, and I remember, I was praying. I said, God, I don't know how you're going to take him out of my life, but please, I'm not going to leave these kids, so it's going to be myself and my 6 kids, and we're
yeah.
going to stay intact, but
mm-hmm.
we need this man to go, because I can't take
Thank
it anymore.
You, Jesus.
I can't
be
see
bold.
The kids go through to the abuse every single day. Lord,
bold.
Even if you have to bring a woman in his life, whatever, because you know how egotistic some of these men are.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and you
right.
know what? Before you know it, I remember one day he said to me, I would like for you to speak to this person. This is how this man was bold. He handed me the phone, and it was his lover. And guess what? Of course, I was acting like I was all sad, and I'm saying, yes, thank God.
Yes!
Freedom is here.
Yes.
And
like
I
God
said,
say,
you know,
come boldly and ask for what we want, and that's what
for what
you
we
did.
Want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly it. And I remember
mm-hmm.
she was saying, I hope you're not upset. I said, no, honey, I wish you all the best. He's a great person. You have fun with him. May God be with you. And, you know, how soon? When are you going to come by and pick him up? So anyway, the day when she came to get him, right, because we were, like, struggling. By that time, I was on food stamps. Okay, this guy had no money, and I have 6 kids, have nothing. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't care what I go on. Thank God I didn't go on welfare 100%, but if I had to, I would have. But I did go on food stamps for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he left Daphne, he says, you know, I'm moving in with this doctor. She's from Jamaica. She doesn't
oh, yeah.
get her license or whatever. Here, her board. She didn't pass the board here yet, so he has no money. She has no money. Can I get some of the grocery? The grocery that he refused to sign for food stamps to say he was an absentee parent. The same food stamp grocer. He took it. He took some. I said, you know
no.
what? Daphne, I would give him anything. I wanted him to go. He's like, grocer, take it. What else you need? Just take it. Whatever you need, just go. And he took it. And do you know he took the grocery? And when the woman came to the door, then his ego got the better of him. And he looked around and he says, Nina, you and the 6 kids get the beep out of my life. He says, these kids, none of them will ever amount to anything. They'll all end up on drug and become Lashkey kids. And let
wow.
me tell him, I look on that man and under my breath, because I had the kids and I always try to maintain a positive,
you know. Mm-hmm.
And I just, under my breath, I just cursed the day he was born, to be honest. After I asked God to forgive me after that. But I said, this man has a gall. These 6
mm-hmm.
kids, I don't know another man. I've never been with anybody else, and these 6 kids belong to this man. If couldn't he have just left us in peace and not say anything, but turn around and curse myself and my kids like that? And let me tell you, that was the motivation I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I've never looked back ever since that day. And the 6
That's
kids
right.
that he said would never amount to anything, like I mentioned, my eldest son is Dr. Jason
mm-hmm.
Campbell. My
mm-hmm.
second son is an investment advisor, very successful kid. And he
mm-hmm.
lives in the West Coast with a
mm-hmm.
beautiful wife, Jamaican girl, and
mm-hmm.
2 beautiful children. My
mm-hmm.
third child is a daughter who we were going through a lot at the time. She
mm-hmm.
was not supposed to be here based on what the doctor said, because X-ray
mm-hmm.
was done while
mm-hmm.
I was pregnant with her, and I didn't know it. And 7 doctors say abort, because this
mm-hmm.
is going to be a vegetable. Well, she's
mm-hmm.
not a vegetable today. She has 2 beautiful sons, and they live here with me.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
You know, along
Thank
with her
you,
husband.
Jesus.
And then
thank
she's
you,
working on a series of children's books called PT and the Heart Watch. She's
Ooh,
a, she's
thank
a
you,
teacher,
Jesus.
Master's degree, and just a very, you know, God-driven child of God.
Nina,
and
what God
one,
blesses, nobody cannot do. No man cannot do, yes. Sorry, go
the
ahead.
The other one, Daphne, number four, he's a graphic designer, and the book that you saw, he's a vice president of my company, Six Arts Publishing, and he does all the artwork. He's one of the best artists I know, and he's also a graduate of University of Florida. The fifth one is the only one who did not go to a four-year college, and that one, and I'm not here to tell people that I have six perfect kids, because Paul, at 16 years old, he decided he was going to go experiment with drugs. And I said, okay, I'm a bank manager. I've come a long way to get here, Paul. So therefore, here's what's going to happen. We're going to part company. When he came home, everything was packed up. The police was waiting to escort him out of my house. I don't play games. It's called tough love. And Paul was on the street for 6 months, Daphne. That was the worst 6 months of my life because I really loved the kid. I didn't know where he was sleeping.
And every
but
night
I had
you
to make
do.
The decision. Yes.
Ooh,
and today,
Jesus.
I remember Paul came home one day, when I came from work from the bank one evening, his diploma was sitting on the thing, and he says, Mom, thank you for practicing, for showing me tough love. I'm on my way to Tallahassee to go live with my friend and give me a call. Here's my number. And today, Paul and I are inseparable. He has a marketing company where he does parties all over, in Brazil, in Australia, and pretty much all the states in the U.S. He's making more money than all the six kids put together.
You got me.
And the last one, Daphne, the last one is a U.S. Navy officer. And that child, and you know, I don't know what you have brought out of me, but I'm going to share this with you for the first time publicly. And like I said, I don't know what it is, why I feel comfortable share this with you. But because of Trisha and my youngest daughter not having had a father figure, and because she heard all the stories of the abuse, she was only three when he left us. So she didn't really get a lot of abuse. She got more of the love from him, if you can call it that, than all the other kids, because they were all, you know, kind of despised and beaten and all that. But she didn't get much beating at all. But she had no use for men because of what she wanted, a father figure, and all she had was a mother. So at 16, which I didn't know, she went on the other side of the fence. And after when I found out, let me tell you, it was the worst day of my life. It was really, really hard for me to deal with because, Lord, I didn't bring my daughter in this world to be this. But I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to trust you. Initially, Daphne, to be honest, I didn't even want to talk to her. I just like Paul, I figured, well, by now I figure you know how I am. It's like tough love because
I'm not
the kind of parent who's going to say, well, I have six and I can lose one. No, I'm not losing
any. No, because
I'm gonna
all of them
all
have
six
their
intact.
Purpose.
Yes, I'm not losing any.
Yes.
And let me tell you, man, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Lord said to me one night, you know what? This is your daughter. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to love her no matter what.
But don't
love the sin. Don't embrace it. Don't let her bring anyone here to you.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, Daphne, do you know that this child, about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, born again, the Lord met her one night in a dream and said, if you don't turn to me, then you're going to see another side of me that you're not going to deal with. And let me tell you, Daphne, right now she's sailing. She's in Korea right now. But let me tell you, whenever she calls us, like, Trish, how are you? Mommy, I'm blessed the Lord. I'm doing well, Mommy. And let me tell you, she is so driven. Daphne, believe it or not, last October gone, we got a call. And it's like, Mom, I like this guy. And I'm saying, dear God, am I hearing right? Cut a long story short, the guy is a born-again Christian, love the Lord. And they're both dating. She's sailing, but he's in California. And he calls me at least once a week. He just called and told me, he says, Miss Nina, I just want you to know, Trish doesn't know, but I paid down on her engagement ring.
Oh, thank you,
can
Jesus.
You believe it?
Thank you. Yes, I can. You're the first person I've shared this with
because I don't.
Yes.
She says to me, Mom, you can share this because I don't care. I'm changed. I'm a child of God. She's Holy Ghost filled, Daphne. I cannot even come close to the way this kid is sold out to the Lord.
She's
writing her book to really go down in that community and really make a difference for the Lord. Because she says, I'm 16, I'm now 25 years old. So
that's
where in my most of my adult life, that's where I was. And I've been with so many people. But God came to me in a dream. And she says, this is it. She has turned her back completely on this sin.
Well, I can't wait to have her on this show. I tell you, girl, you got me crying on my show. I tell you, Nina, this is the third segment we are doing on a Sunday.
Yes.
The Lord spoke to my spirit the end of the year, instructing me to do a Sunday segment dealing with adversity. Am I happy that I am obedient to what he instructed me to do?
Thank God.
Because people need to know this. People need to hear. Never give up on any of our children. Never give up. Never throw them out. Never throw them out with the bad water. You know,
yes.
We just have to, I'm in tears. I'm just so thankful that you share that with us and for trusting and respecting us here on the A New Day show to share that. I want
never
to
shared
remind,
it before.
Whew, thank you. I want to remind the listeners, feel free to call in 646-915-8166. Just call in and let us know if you have anything to share, if anything that Nina has said has touched your heart, if you have a similar story, call us. Talk to us. I'm telling you, Nina, oh, my God. This is all powerful. This is so powerful. I'm so thankful to God because this was not going to happen on the Wednesday show. So I'm just so thankful.
Yes.
For all that he is doing. Not one book, not two books, but three books.
Yes.
The little 8-year-old girl out, little girl out of the pig pen, an author, not one time, not two times, but three times.
And keep going.
Keep going. We just counted three for today.
Yes.
Because we don't have the time, but we count in three today. Let's talk about that. When you did the first book, what did it feel like, Nina?
Well, that book was actually done in 1997 because I had just come out of the abuse and, you know, new on my own, found this newfound freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I remember my father, who I was really close with, he had passed, and I used to be a director at Jenny Craig at the time, and I remember one morning I had a dream, and my father said, you know, I know you have a burning desire to help other single mothers because of what you've gone through, and you need to put your story down. You need to write a book. And I'm saying, write a book. And Daphne was like, just like I'm talking to you, it was like a vision. It was so real. It's like, write a book, Daddy. It's like, yeah, you need to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
So all I know, that was from 1997. And one thing with me, when I believe that the Lord has his hand on something, no matter how busy I'm going to make the time.
Yes.
And I took some notebooks. I took 7 notebooks, which I still have today.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing. Had no formal, you know, training to write or anything. Didn't go to college. But it's like, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Exactly,
so you don't have to go to college to be able to write a book.
Exactly. Authenticity is what you were writing from. And that's what people connect with.
Yes.
We're not kicking the journalists and all of the people who are educated and all of that. But your authenticity is what people want.
Yes. So I wrote that first book, Daphne, and that what it took off. It really did well. As far as money-wise, I still kept my job. I had this big goal to go out and just reach out to single mothers and be a light and just help to motivate the children who have been abused and that kind of thing. But I had to feed my kids, you know.
That's
so my second son, who is really like, he was a financial analyst in the family at young ages, like, Mom, I know you have a burn, but you got to take care of home first. And when I went to college, I remember he had a meeting with all of us the night before he left for University of Florida. And it's like, Mom, I know you have this big heart to help the whole world, but your job right here, this is what God has given you. Your mandate is to stay here and raise these kids right, because if you lose one, you're going to go out and save a million, and then you're going to lose one or two of these kids. It's not worth it. So he kind of put me in check and let me know that really it begins at home.
Yes,
so the book was a success. I was did it really good in Jamaica, but then, got into banking, moved to the top of corporate ladder, and in 2007... I said, you know what, my passion is really, I want to get back to my writing, and there's something, no matter what you've achieved, there's this there's this void in my life that I need to go back and start connected with people and start to give my message out there as far as the abuse and help other single mothers. Because I heard them, you know, whatever I did, they always came across my path. It's like I connect with them. It's like there's this attraction to people who have gone that road. And I said, you know, I'm going to revise the book because a lot of people on my in my path after would ask, what happened to the kids? It's like, oh, my God, did the other kids make it to college? How is your big son doing? So I said, you know what? Let me do a kind of update and let people know how the kids are doing. And that's what I did with the revision. And then right after that, I started to, I left corporate America and got into real estate. And I said, you know what? The market crashed 2008. And I had this big goal to earn, you know, $250,000 in real estate because I was a bank manager, so I was doing, you know, a good amount,
defense,
you know, six figure and everything. And I said, that's not enough, so let me get into real estate. Well, that crashed, so there was nothing to get into. Couldn't get back to the bank. If I went back to the bank, they were going to pay me like $40,000. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. So it's like the Lord is saying, you know what, why don't you just continue writing? And Daphne, at that time, there were so many people who were over 50 that were being laid off, losing homes, relationships, and all that. And I'm saying, what's going on with this 50-plus community? It's like so much, you know, and these people, it's not like they're that young. Like, you and I will go to make it happen, but not everybody's as driven and as passionate as we are, you know?
That's right.
And
that's
I say, you know what? I got to do some damage control. And I started to call people over 50. It's like, listen, do you have a story? And that's how I wrote my second book, Forever Young at 50-plus. 100 compelling stories of men and women who have gone through some severe adversities. And they still look young, and they have an amazing story to tell. I'd say about 75% of the people in that book, they're Christians. So the undertone is about the Lord, but not everybody in the book is a Christian, you know?
Yeah. But you know something? Everybody, whether they want to admit it publicly or not, there's some spirituality in all of us.
True.
Because when the metal hit the floor, everybody's calling on the Lord. I mean,
calling
they say,
out.
Oh,
it's
no, oh, no, I'm not Christian or nothing like that. But you have the conversation long enough. You hear how much time they ball, oh, Jesus, our Lord, or something. So if you don't believe, why are you calling on him?
And it's
you
funny
know?
You say that, Daphne, because one of the men in the book, he's a doctor from Bangladesh, right? And his story is, did you see the other book? The book, Forever Young and 50 Plus? Did you get a chance to look at that?
That's the one I thumbed through when I was in Jamaica. I didn't see the other one.
Oh, you didn't see Crosses to Bear. Well,
no,
there's a story.
I just saw the Forever Young at 50.
Forever Young. There's a story with Dr. Ahmed, who was a doctor, who is a doctor, but he came in from Bangladesh. And basically his story was when he was like 23 years old, he was captured by the Pakistani army, right, because he was a freedom fighter. And that man was pretty much, he thought he was dead, just like I thought that, you know, I was shot. So that's why I could relate to his story. And basically, he was a Muslim, Daphne. And when I spoke with him, and I said, and he dropped in the grave. And when they picked up and left, you know, they thought everybody was dead because the firing squad was killing everybody that was lined up. And he was the only one to survive. And he says, Nina, when I dropped in the grave, and his story's in the book, he thought that, it's like, how am I in the grave? I thought that I'm dead. And I said, Dr. Ahmed, what do you think happened there? He says, Nina, I have no clue. I said, it's God. It's the Lord.
Right.
And he says, you think so? I said, Dr. Ahmed, come on, you're here for a purpose.
He says,
so maybe it's God. Just like it's just to echo what you just said.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
A lot of people might not want to admit it, but there's something deep down that is saying, well, it has to be a higher power, something that we don't have the understanding. So,
Exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what happened until he's ready to give us our exit.
Yeah.
And nothing can happen. We look around. I remember my friend and one of my prior sisters, her son was in Afghanistan at the war. And she used to pray for her son. And let me tell you something. When that young man came back and was talking about his experience, the tears was just running out my eyes because at the time I was riding with his mother to church because I didn't have a car. And she was telling me. And the young man came back and he says, sometime he's out there and the missiles are flying and the gunshots are flying. And he is like in the middle, Nina, and he see this tough light just like go around him and hit somebody else. Or he will see something like a light just come drop over him as if you put a cone over
him. Like a halo. Yes.
That's right. And he never gets hurt. He came back here and now he's at Tyler School in Florida. So let me tell you something.
Perfect
We serve an amazing, powerful God. If we would just believe, all we need to do is to believe. And I'm telling the people who are listening, don't you give up. It doesn't matter how it look. I want you to know that the darkest part of night is just before dawn.
True.
So if you just hold on, you are going to see your light at the end of the tunnel. If Nina can do it, and if Daphne Clark Hudson can do it, so can you.
Yes.
Because we weren't born with gold spoon in our mouth.
No, we were not.
We all go through obstacles. But you know something? A couple of years ago, Nina, I was speaking with a journalist for a newspaper article, and I told him, I said, you know something? He asked me, if I had my life to do over, what would I do differently? And I thought about it, and I said, not one thing, because every experience I have gone through has helped to mold me into this phenomenal woman that God has allowed me to come. Everything has built me. I have learned to carve situations out, look at them and say, what are the lessons learned here?
Yes.
So learn your lessons. You know, that's why I'm an avid supporter of journaling. Because when there's so much turmoil going around you, you can just empty yourself on the pages of your journal, and as you go back over your life, you look back on those, and it helps to show you the direction where God is taking you. I know we are at 7:58, and I know you are leaving at the top of the hour. So you want to talk about the new book you have coming out and when it's coming out, and tell people how they can get in touch with you. And then we're just going to summarize. And we will be having you back on this the Wednesday show.
Okay.
So we can talk about the entrepreneurial aspect. But tonight we're talking about overcoming adversities.
Yes.
So talk about the third book, please.
Well, the third book, the name of the third book is The Recession Won't Last, But Salvation Will.
Mm.
And that book, Daphne, was definitely, I was under the anointing all the way when I did that book. My son, my eldest son, Jason, you know, called me one evening and told me that, Mom, you're spending a lot of time traveling, you're on the plane a lot, why don't you write a book about the recession? I'm saying, no, I'm not writing a book about the recession because I have some other books in the queue. You know, I'm writing the book about pulmonary embolism. There's a lot of things going on. And I said, Jason, you know, honey, I have to feel it to write it, so maybe down the road. So I left it alone, but my kids know how I am, especially when they plant a seed. It's just a matter of, you know, time for it to grow.
For it to manifest. Mm-hmm.
So he planted a seed and the Lord just pulled it up. I was traveling to New York in October, and about halfway of the journey, someone said to me, okay, you're supposed to be writing while you're flying. And I'm saying, I'm not writing while I'm flying. I'm not. So, you know, you ever try to dismiss something, and the more you dismiss it, the more it becomes prominent in your head, and it's like, okay, Jason, I'm listening. It's like, no, this is not Jason, this is the Lord. So I started writing. So I did two chapters. You know, I had to think about it first, because the ideas, the Lord was just giving me the ideas. And when I got back to Florida, I did two chapters. So I just put it somewhere. It's like, okay, I need to get back to marketing my existing books.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm going to Jamaica in November, Daphne, and you know, everything is online, so I could go down there and get whatever I had started. So I went down and I said to my sister, Julian, I said, Julian, the Lord is, I don't know. I said, this is the weirdest thing. I'm writing this book, The Recession Won't Last, But Salvation Will. And you see how dynamic she is. She said, oh, my gosh, I love the title. So how far you reached? How many chapters? And I was saying, Julian, I only did two chapters, but I don't even, she says, Nina, let me tell you, that is the most that is like music to my ear, because do you know how many lives you can touch with that book?
That's right.
I don't know what she and her husband did.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe went in the room and locked away and prayed, but you said by the following day, it took me 5 days to finish the book in Jamaica.
My God. 1 week.
The book was done.
Once you open up to the Holy Spirit, because what's happening, Nina, you are a channel through which God is disseminating his information to his people. And you were opened and ready for it to flow. It's like all Julian did was to turn the faucet open.
Yes, that's what she did. And she just motivated me. And all I know, I wouldn't go anywhere except for the two speaking engagements I had in Jamaica. I had one at a church down there and one at a spa.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know that it was just from, I just stayed in the room and I just wrote. And some nights, Daphne, which was really strange, she'd come in the room and she said, Nina, what you wrote today, read what you wrote. Because she went to the pantry while I was at home writing. I had no desire to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And after I read some of the chapters to her that night, and I'm saying, when did I write? I don't remember writing this.
Because it was you writing.
It wasn't me writing
it.
Daphne, the book is so powerful. It is filled with just empowering scriptures of how the Lord is going to taking us through this rough time.
Yeah,
and
because
he promised he's not going to leave us or forsake us. But you know what the promise is? Our disbelief.
That's right.
Is an amazing book, and it's only going to be sold for $9.95. It's a Lord.
Thank you.
I'm not even trying to make a lot of money. It's a recession book,
but
it's a recession price.
He's going to just let the money come in, because it's going to touch people's lives who are going to be seeding into your ministry. So my friend said to me, I need to get somebody that will collect my money when I work and all of that, because I'm so focused on the journey that God and the mission that God has me on, Nina. And so often I forget that I got to pay the bills.
Right.
And sometimes a lot of the Christian folks too take advantage of us, you know. So God told me this year I need to find an agent and a manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Lord, yes, I want them, and I'm asking him to supply the people for me. Who I can still focus on the work he has me to do, but at the same time, I will not be in mediocrity, because he wants his servant to be lavished in abundance.
Yes. Yes.
He wants us to be lavished in abundance. So,
yes, you know,
I'm not surprised how you wrote that quickly, because when you open up and allow God to work, that's what happened. You hold the pen, you open the pages, or you sit at your typewriter and your fingers are going, and when you go back and read this, you said, huh? Who wrote this? And you said,
it's not me.
It's not you. It's not you.
It's the Lord.
I cannot wait to read that. All right. I would like for you to just summarize your conversation for this evening, Nina. And what would you like to leave the listeners with when it pertains to overcoming adversity and propelling into their greatness of empowerment and success? What do you want to leave them with?
Well, Daphne, well, first of all, from the kids' standpoint, my motto is our children are our greatest investment.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to focus on our children and lay that foundation, strong foundation, biblical foundation, Christian foundation. So even when our children stray, just like how I strayed, you know what? I came back to Ruth because God was there waiting for me to come back home.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it's not like I ever, you know, I was really living for the Lord like when I was married, to my children's father and, you know, doing the right things. I was just so busy, you know, trying to deal with the abuser or whatever, but God never left me.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
He's always there, yeah? Mm-hmm.
My mother has always told me over the years that the Lord will not give you more than you can bear.
And sometimes
adversities will pull you closer to the Lord, and for you to say, listen, Lord, I know you'll never leave me or forsake me. Just be there with me, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we just have to put our trust in God and know that he's going to be there. He's listening. I mean, his phone line is never busy. Jeremiah 33 is like, call on the Lord and he will answer you. You know, so just develop that relationship with the Lord and know that he will never leave you or forsake you. God is amazing. He's an amazing God. And I'd love to tell them how to get my books, if you don't mind.
Yes, Yeah, go ahead. Give your contact information, please, Nina.
Okay, my website is www.6hearts.com.
Hold on, I'm going to put it in the chat room. Go again.
Okay.
SIX hearts.com.
And you can get the two books. My first two books are available for purchase, and
mm-hmm.
my third book, The Recession Won't Last, But Salvation Will,
mm-hmm.
that will be available for purchase about 21st of February, and all the books will be on Amazon before
mm-hmm.
the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
But right
mm-hmm.
now, you need to visit the website to read up
right.
on what I do and to get the
mm-hmm.
books, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can always leave a message, and I can give you my email address if you like. My email address is sixheartspublishing@gmail.com.
All right, I'm writing that in the chat room to sixheartspublishing@gmail.com.
gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So there you got it, guys. You got her email. I put your email up for the people in the chat room.
Thank you.
And you got her website. I look forward to a continued friendship and relationship, Nina. And just
yes,
want
I
to encourage
too.
You to continue God's work. Don't allow anything to derail you. And I can't wait to have you come and launch the next book on our Wednesday episode. So keep in touch, my sister, and keep moving and shaking the world. I'm so excited to know you, and you stay blessed.
God bless you. I'd love to come to your city to launch, to do a launch with the Recession book once it's out. So we'll talk,
okay.
Daphne. God bless
okay.
you.
God bless you.
And you're doing
you.
An amazing job. God bless
oh,
you. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was Miss Nina Hart. What an amazing story. And at this time, we have another 28 minutes. And I want to play one of my favorite songs for you, Nothing But the Blood. Because I tell you, if it was not for the blood, Nina would not be on this show to be talking about everything she has gone through. So I want to play that song for you now.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Seeks righteousness for me, it stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood. Your blood speaks a better word. All the empty claims I've heard upon this earth speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can I do? Boldly we approach no earthly confidence. It's only by your blood.
Nothing but the blood. For those of us who have had the experience and the benefit of what the blood can do for us, that is just a gratitude song for us. And what a phenomenal woman Nina Hart is. What an amazing story. If you are experiencing abuse now, or if you have been there, she commented that you can relate to that. And know that you can gain strength, you can gather strength that will help you propel to where you need to be. You heard her mention about praying to God. She knew it would be challenging for her to move with six kids and for her to find a place. And she wanted to remain intact with her kids. And God, she asked the Lord to move that man out of her life, even if he had to give her a woman to move him out of the house. And what did he do? He delivered on a golden platter. Delivered on a golden platter. And you know, God has so greatly blessed all of her children. They are doing great. They are role models and examples for others to follow. So I just want to just say thank you, God, for helping her and for preserving her children. Because if it was not for your blood and for the early upbringing of her mother and her father, she might not have been around today to be sharing her story with the rest of the world. I want to remind you that you can call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And I want to thank the people in the chat room. I thank you for continuing to hang on and for listening to us. If you have a question, you can call in. If you have a remark, you can type it in there. And I am just so excited. I tell you something. This is the second time somebody have me crying on my own show. I tell you something. I was weeping on my show. So, if you know someone who has an amazing story of overcoming adversity, you need to give me a call or send me an email from the radio site and let me know who this person is so I can speak with them and I'll be able to share their story with you on one of the Sunday evening segments. Because the Sunday evening segments of the show deals with life issues of those who have overcame adversity and are now so empowered that nothing, absolutely nothing, can deflate their success. So I want you to send me an email from the show site. And for those of you who are listening, I want to remind you that there's a section on the homepage of the radio show where you can leave your comments there. Listen, everybody needs a little pat on the back. So we want to hear what the show is doing for you. And just leave us a note there. Also, please take the time to befriend me and to follow me on the show on Twitter and as well as on Facebook. And if you are on LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn as well. So connect with me. I'm looking to hear from all of you and to just know what you have been gaining from the work that we are doing here. Now, on Wednesday the 26th, I have another phenomenal woman on, Lady O, Odessa Hopkins, out of the D.C. area. Odessa is another phenomenal woman. I met her a few years ago at the FraserNet, Power Networking Organization. And she's just doing some phenomenal things up there in the D.C. area. So she's going to be on this Wednesday. So remember to stop by and share it with others so they too can stop by. On the 9th of February, again, we are staying in the Maryland area. I'm having a Victoria Gator. Victoria is at home with Victoria, host and journalist, and she's coming on to spend some quality time with us here, 11 o'clock on the 9th of February on the show. So I want to hear from you. Give me a call. We still have 17 minutes remaining. I would love to hear from you. The number to reach me is 646-915-8166. And you remember to check out Nina's books at sixheartspublishing.com. And her email is sixheartspublishing@gmail.com. Send her an email and check out her website and share that information with others. Because there are a lot of people out there who are hurting. Not only women, but men as well. There are lots of men who are going through abuse just like how women are. And our message is for both, anywhere, whatever gender you are. And if you are going through any abuse, we want to reach out to you. We want to send your prayers. We want to show our love and support to you. And we want to tell you, just remind you, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So don't stop in the middle. Keep walking. Keep moving. Keep moving. You can only become stagnant when you stop. But so long as you are in motion, so long as there's action going on, you will see the light. You know, it's amazing when Nina spoke about what her son told her about writing the book. A lot of times, God will give others the message to deliver to us. And we need to be very careful how we dismiss things. It's like our blessings. You know, sometimes they say the blessings come disguised, and we always think it's going to come the way that we want it to look. But it is important to inspect, and it's so important to remain silent a lot of times so you can listen, so you can discern who is speaking to you. Is it indeed the voice of the Lord, or is it the voice of the enemy? And when you are too busy, or things are going haywire in your life, it's like my friend Trish says, like gerba and crack, and I always laugh when she said that. I've never seen one, but the way she said it, it sounds as if it's a fast speed that the gerba is going. I tell you, my friends have some real, real unique way of expressing stuff. And if you are going like a gerba and crock, and I'll credit that to Trish Cook, you need to slow down and take time so you can receive all the powerful messages that are meant for you. And I am so excited that she slowed down eventually and listened to what she needed to do. And look, because a lot of times, because we have a powerful list we are working on, we think that we have things in order. But we don't always have things in order. And that's why we got to listen to see what comes first. It's like, you know, when I got the directive to do this Sunday show, you know, I'm so glad that I was obedient. And so far, all three guests that we have had on since we began it 3 weeks ago are powerful story. The first lady we had on was a lady, Sharon Thomas, out of Jamaica, and she had reinvented her life out of the corporate world. What an amazing story. Then last week we had Janet Hexon. And Janet is the 2010 reigning queen of the Mrs. Asia USA. And today, as if it was not powerful enough, we had Miss Nina Hart. And you heard Nina's story. At eight, she was placed in a pig's pen, a pig's filthy, dirty pig's pen. She was placed by her abusive sister-in-law in the pig's pen. And for those of you who you are from Jamaica, you know what a pig's pen look like. It's not for human beings to be spending the night. Well, we are just so thankful that God had helped her to survive from that. And guest 17485, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome 17179 to the show. We are on the last leg of it, so I'm going to ask you to catch it on the archive. It was a powerful show. I want you to send it to everybody. And if you have any remarks, in case you were listening on your computer before you came to the chat room, if you have any remarks that you want to make, you can either type it or feel free to please call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And my guest today was Nina Hart. We had a phenomenal first hour of the show, but she was not able to stay for the entire hour and a half. But we have had an amazing dialogue and conversation. So please catch it on the archive. But we still have 11 minutes. If you want to call into the show and make a remarks or comments about the show, please dial 646-915-8166. And again, if you know of anyone who has a phenomenal story of overcoming adversity and they are still holding and pressing on. I need to hear about them so I can have them on the show so that they can share their story with the rest of the world. You know, it is just so amazing when you listen to other people's stories, because you oftentimes think, oh, I've got it so bad. And you sit down and you're talking about poor little me. I've been this, I've been that, I've been the other. But listen, if you dig deep enough, you're going to find somebody who have had it worse than you have. And they are still holding on, and they are still pressing in, because they keep telling themselves, I know I am closer than it looks. I know my success is here. I know this is my day. I know this is my year. I know that there is no lack in the kingdom. I don't care if I have an overdraft that I don't have the money to clear. I know God promised me that I will have an abundant life. I know that I will be healed from that disease that I'm going through. I know that child who is acting up is going to turn around. I know that child will be able to use his or her story for the betterment of others. You heard Nina spoke about her daughter who went on the other side of the track, and today she's born again. Sailing now, she's in, I think she said Japan or Korea or someplace. But she has turned around, writing a book, getting ready to share her story with the rest of the world. I'm asking you right now, you who are listening to the sound of my voice, what is your story? There are some of us who have more than one story. What's your story? Do not keep your story a secret. Tell your story from the mountaintop. I'm here to tell you that there will be some relatives or family members who will get upset when you tell your story. But if you do not tell your story, you are not helping others. And we owe it to others to tell our story, in order to give them hope and help to build their faith, so that they too can hold on and said, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I am certain that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It was just this afternoon I was speaking with my son Javonte on the telephone, and I'm telling him, I know there's a breakthrough coming for you. It doesn't matter what things look like now. I know there is a breakthrough coming your way. And that's why the enemy is trying to confuse you and to get you upset. And things that were promised to you is not coming through. People who promised to do things for you, you're not connecting with them. But listen, I said to him, I know, like I know my name speaking with you today, God is getting ready to do an amazing thing in your life. And I said to him, I said, honey, when God delivers to you, everybody's going to be amazed, because they're going to be saying, is that Javonte? Is that Javonte? Because haters are always wishing you bad things. But when God is there protecting you, he's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he's sitting down and he's just planning to deliver something that's going to slap them straight in the face. And nobody can undo the things that he's getting ready to do in your life. And I know that what I've just said, it's not just for my son, Javonte, but it is also for others. It's for me as well. is for others of my colleagues who are facing challenging times. The only thing we have to hold on to is our faith and our belief in knowing that God promises that He will deliver. And He is not a liar. He will deliver. He doesn't say when. He doesn't say how. And that's why it is so important to be quiet so we can know when He's telling us these different things. I'm so thankful that He directed me to do this Sunday show where we can talk about life issues. I want to thank the people who join us in the chat room today. I pray that you got something out of this segment. I want to remind you to please join us on Wednesday when my guest will be Mrs. Odessa Hopkins out of the D.C. area. And Odessa is doing a phenomenal job there. She's the queen of networking and relationship buildings, I'm telling you. She's also a host that has a show, and she's just doing a phenomenal job. So I feel blessed that she decides to join me on Wednesday, where she can inspire, empower, educate, and transform my listeners. I tell you, I am so excited. I feel privileged that each and every one of you have spent the time with me this afternoon. I want to just gently nudge you and let you know that you were created for a destiny. It is your time. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Follow your destiny and your dreams will come true. So stay blessed. And I'll see you on Wednesday.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Showing me,
hallelujah, and directing me,
directing. spirit to the Lord.
Lord, I thank
you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny.
My destiny.
I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this land. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this land. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I know. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
What a timing. You was listening to the show? Lord have mercy. I just click the button and the phone ring. And I thought you were listening. And
as I said goodbye in the chat room,